Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father. Amen. The word of God that we'll consider on this day comes from the second book of Kings in the Old Testament, chapter 23, beginning with verse 1, as follows. Then King Josiah sent them to gather all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem to him. And the king went up to the house of the Lord with all the men of Judah, and with him all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant which had been found in the house of the Lord. Then the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord, to follow the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people took their stand for the covenant. Here ends our text. In the name of Jesus Christ, our great prophet, high priest, and king, dear fellow redeemed, I was reading some political commentary the other day, and the subject of the column was reform. It's a very popular subject, especially during this presidential election cycle that we happen to be in right now. And the writer pointed out that the cry of reform is a very potent and resonating theme with voters. Call for governmental reform strikes a chord with just about every citizen because almost everybody feels that there are parts of the government that are badly fouled up and that are in need of fixing. And of course, if you're a candidate, you want to stop right there in your campaign promise, because if you start talking about which parts of the government you're in favor of reforming, then you're going to find a lot of people disagreeing with you. And a savvy campaign manager also knows one other thing. It's very easy to make sweeping promises about the great reforms that you're going to carry out after the election, and it's difficult and almost never happens that those reforms actually take place. As Christians, we should all be in favor of reform, for we, after all, are disciples of Jesus Christ. Our spiritual life as his disciples is the single most important thing in our lives, or at least it ought to be. Do you sometimes feel like you've been sidetracked from your faith life, that too many things in your life are crowding in on you and crowding God out? If so, maybe it's time to do something about that. Today is the day that we celebrate the sweeping reform that was begun by Martin Luther 498 years ago, this coming Saturday, that's known as the Reformation. But Reformation has to be more for us than just a historical footnote. Reformation is something each of us needs to apply to ourselves in our own daily lives. That's why our theme for this morning is Reformation in the Here and Now. Now is the right time, and here is the right place. I think everyone here today is somewhat familiar with Martin Luther and probably even have some vague ideas about what the Reformation was all about in a general way. Luther, with his Reformation, pulled Christians back to the Bible is really what he did. But I wonder if you've ever heard of King Josiah. And you could be excused if you haven't, because he was rather an obscure king of the southern kingdom of Judah. And he reigned in the last few decades before the entire inhabitants, all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, were taken into captivity in Babylonia. He is worth remembering, though, is Josiah, because he led the people of Judah, temporarily at least, in a great spiritual reform movement. And he certainly chose the right time to do it, because by the time he came to power, the people of Judah had gone far, far away from the Word of God. The two kings before him were his father and his grandfather, and not only had they abandoned the worship of the true God, they were actually leaders in the worship of the false Canaanite gods. So they led the people of Israel further from God rather than leading them back to God. Things had gotten so bad by the time of Josiah that when the high priest stumbled across a copy of the Holy Scriptures in the temple, he didn't even know what it was, but he read it and discovered what it was. And then that book was brought before King Josiah and read to him as well. And when the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. Josiah was very upset because of what this book said was true. Then his people were dreadfully in need of reform. So the king sent them to gather all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem to him. Josiah didn't waste any time. He saw that a major reform was needed, and he knew that the right time to begin that reform was right now. What about you? Has your relationship with God been wearing a bit thin recently? Is it threatening to disappear altogether? You know, one trend among American Christians these days that is quite troubling is sometimes referred to as compartmentalization. There are many in our day who seem to be convinced that they can separate their Christian faith into a neat little compartment, just like all the other things that take up time in their lives. A compartment that in no way touches or affects any other aspect of their lives. I'm always amazed, for instance, when you hear a political candidate claim on the one hand to be a Christian, but then in the very next breath say that their Christian faith will not affect any of their political decisions. How can that be? You might as well say dropping a tea bag into a cup of boiling water will in no way affect the color or the taste of the water. As soon as you put the tea bag in there, it's tea. And once the Holy Spirit works faith in your heart, you're a Christian, and that is going to permeate and penetrate and drastically affect every other aspect of your life. How can you take something so fundamental and lock it away in a compartment? Sadly, I think that's something that we all sometimes try to do, though, isn't it? Are you guilty of compartmentalization? What about your prayer life, your family devotions, your attendance on God's Word here in the Lord's house? Are these just a few more items on your schedule? Is your Christian faith just one more compartment in your life, like your work and your family and your hobbies and your leisure activities? Because if that's the case, then you need a reformation in your life. And the best time to begin it is right now. For God and His holy law, of course, requires much more than that we make Him one compartment in our life. Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." It's the most important commandment there is, and each one of us has broken this commandment in myriad ways and times without number. Now is the right time to spiritually reform our lives as Christians. Man came up to a pastor one day and said, "Excuse me, Reverend, I've never been much of a church-going man, but lately I've been thinking it may be time to start. What do you think, Pastor? When is the best time in a person's life to begin going to church?" "Well," said the pastor thoughtfully, "to be absolutely safe, you'd better make sure that you start attending church at least 1 month before the date of your death." The man looked astonished. He said, "I don't know the date of my death." "Neither do I," said the pastor, "so I guess we'll see you on Sunday, won't we?" My Christian friends, we can't afford to gamble with eternity. Now is the only safe time to come to the Lord Jesus, to the Savior who has promised to pull you out of every nasty, difficult, sinful mess that you've managed to get yourself into. And if you'll only trust Him, He'll do it. Jesus lifts that heavy yoke of sin off your shoulders, including the guilt you feel about not keeping that first commandment, or even close, to love God and serve Him above everything else in your life. What better time could there be to begin a personal reformation than on Reformation Sunday? As St. Paul puts it, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Now is the right time to institute a reform in your life. You haven't got a minute to lose. It goes without saying, however, but that to have an effective reformation in your personal life, you've got to have a little bit more than just good timing. You have to know who you believe in and where your salvation lies. The Apostle Paul says, "There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." it is essential for us to be in Christ Jesus. When the storms of life come blowing, there's no other safe place. When the great storm of Judgment Day is approaching, there's no other safe place. Recently, we've been seeing news about Hurricane Patricia, and I saw an item about how offshore oil rig workers escape when there's a terrible hurricane approaching. They've got a rescue vehicle that they use on oil rigs called the bus. And if there's a hurricane threatening the oil platform, this is one bus you definitely don't want to miss. It's an orange bullet-shaped capsule that's mounted on a ramp that's slanted down toward the sea. And when a hurricane is coming, all the workers on the rig find their place in the orange capsule, strap themselves in with seatbelts, and then they shut the door. The capsule is released and projected away from the rig. It bobs safely in the sea until the workers can be rescued. But obviously, when the rescue hatch is closed, you've got to be in the capsule to be safe. As long as you're in the rescue device, you're perfectly out of danger and safe. Our safety when the winds of life begin to blow, when the storm of Judgment Day is approaching, our safety lies in one thing, being in Christ Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Like Martin Luther, King Josiah had made his resolution to start a reform, to get right with God again. And it's interesting to note the place that he chose to institute his reform. Martin Luther went to the Castle Church in Wittenberg. Josiah went to the Temple of the Lord. In our country, the executive branch is headquartered in the White House and the legislative in the Congress. It's interesting, in ancient Israel, the seat of the executive was the royal palace, and the seat of the legislative was the city gates where the elders would meet to discuss and decide issues. Very significantly, Josiah bypassed both of those places, and he went to the one place it was proper to renew the people's commitment to the Lord, and that was the temple, the Lord's house. The king went up to the house of the Lord with all the men of Judah, and with him all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the house of the Lord. They wanted to reform their lives, and they knew exactly the right place to do it. They went to God's house, the place where God is worshipped and where God's word is read and meditated upon. Everybody went, from the least to the greatest, from the king himself right down to the poorest beggar. They went to confess their sin. They went to hear God's word of pardon and forgiveness. And they went to pledge themselves to the covenant and to begin a reformation in their lives. Here in the Lord's house is the right place for you and me as well to begin a personal reformation. Here is where God's word is preached, and that's the main reason. I wonder if you've ever seen a blast furnace or wondered how they get such incredibly high temperatures. They do it by piping pure oxygen in to the furnace to feed the flames. When you come to church on Sunday, your faith is being fired and inspired by the pure word of God, the highest octane energy source you could ever find. Every Sunday, that word is preached from this pulpit. Every Sunday, here is where you'll get the fuel you need to keep your faith burning white hot. God's law and his gospel, his word of repentance. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And his sweet word of forgiveness. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Here is the right place for us to start a real, sincere reform movement in our own lives. And there's something else we gain by getting together with our fellow Christians to worship God, and that's really heat by association. It's pretty common to hear someone object, "Well, Pastor, I can be a Christian without going to church. I can read my Bible in my own home." Which is true as far as it goes, but it doesn't go far enough. There's something missing. I grew up in dairy country in the Midwest and spent my share of time on farms. One day it occurred to me that there's no furnace in a cow barn. In a part of the country that sometimes gets down to 20 below in the wintertime and stays there for weeks, the cow barn has no apparent source of heat at all. How could that be, I wonder? Well, it was explained to me by a farmer. It's heat by association. One cow in a barn would quickly freeze to death, but 30 animals in a barn render the environment warm and cozy even on the coldest of days. Well, our building here is certainly more graceful and inviting than a cattle barn, but a similar principle applies here as well. One thing our worship here gives to us is heat by association. God's house is where believers gather together, yes, to worship and praise Him, but also to build one another up and to increase one another's faith and encourage one another in the faith. We need that heat. Without it, we will run the risk of allowing our faith to grow cold and die. That's why the writer to the Hebrews said, "Let us consider how we can stimulate one another to love and to do good works. Let us not stay away from our worship services, as some are regularly doing, but let us encourage one another all the more as we see the day coming nearer." In 1517, as a monk named Martin Luther stood at the door of the castle church in Wittenberg, he recognized that a reformation was needed. So Luther, with hammer and nails in one hand and the 95 Theses in the other, did something about it. At the time of Josiah, the people recognized that a great need of reformation had arrived, so they did something about it. The king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord and to keep His commandments and His testimonies and His statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people took their stand for the covenant. All of us are guilty as well, to some extent, of letting ourselves be sidetracked from the service of God. Well, Christ has earned forgiveness for us for that sin too. Do you want to start a personal reformation in your spiritual life? Now is the right time. Right here is the right place. To rededicate ourselves to the Lord, to renew the covenant of salvation with our God. Right now, right here, let's give the answer the psalmist gave when he said, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord." Amen. Please rise.